around UBC, the UBC campus. Mm. It's the cover story. And it'll be online soon. It's not at the moment.
Yes, yeah. It's also all of our print issues are online, like in their print form.
Yeah, the PDF version.
Yes. issue.com/UBC, I think.
Yeah, so you can find it on there too. So check it out if you haven't read it already. So yeah, thank you to all our listeners for listening. This has been another episode of Democracy Watch, the News Collective's weekly local news program. Please tune in again next Thursday at 5 p.m. for more local news. Subscribe to our podcast, Seeking Office, if you haven't already. Thanks for listening and have an awesome weekend. Bye-bye.
This is Mole Man in the Morning. Good Mole Man to you. Today, part 4 of our series of the agonizing pain in which I live every day.
You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, not the home of Mole Men in the Morning.
The illest song I ever wrote, Hollywood in the liner notes. What's good? A blog I wrote. Hip hop, the antidote. Royce Burt on the soul tip. Someone in an old whip. Vacay on a cruise ship. Seasick from the beatsmith. Said I wouldn't come back. I lied, I guess. Girl can rap. Royce Burt, someone soundtrack. Take a pic, stay a while, unpack. Stay black out back with a backpack. Knapsack underground where we stay at. Real DJs. Spin vinyl, hip hop, cold blue, no vitals. Someone took an oath, no Bible. Feature presentation, no recital. Radio bump this in the colleges. Someone MC turned novelist. Rap game, pure politics. Stay negative, I'm an optimist. Try to cherish these moments, though my spirit is broken before it's all said and done and my life getting stolen. I'm my only opponent. So many visions manifesting, see it's mine and I know it. If love is a crime, I'm guilty. Hip hop, old school, stay filthy. Someone, Royce Burt, the EP. Get woke, y'all broke, quit sleeping. Someone, Royce Burt, the EP. Get woke, y'all broke, quit sleeping.
What's up, everybody? You're listening to the Spencer Latu Show on CITR 101.9 FM. This is a politics and current events show broadcasting live from unceded Musqueam territory in UBC's Point Grey campus. I'm with my co-host, Ajit.
What's up?
And I'm your host, Spencer Latu. And for today's show, we are speaking truth to power about the moderate wing of fascism. But before we get to all that, I would like to acknowledge that the land on which we gather is the unceded territory of the Coast Salish peoples, including the territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh nations. So let's keep that in mind. You know, there's no justice on stolen land. I know it's Pride Week and we're all very excited. Pride is a great city event, probably one of the best times of the year. I've gone multiple times and this will be my second year in a row in the parade. So I'm very excited about that. Will I be seeing you at Pride, Ajit?
Maybe plans? If I'm free. Sunday? Is it? Sunday. Well, unfortunately, I'm busy with institutional religion on Sunday.
Okay. That's fun, too. Okay. Well, I will be, you know, in the Church of Pride, so that's what I'll be up to. Okay.
Fantastic. I'll be there in spirit.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Speaking of spirits, how about two spirits? The number one trending article on the UBC website right now is from friend of the show, Rodney Little Mustache. So shouts out to you, Rodney. Way to go. Way to take over the number one spot. And so what he wrote is an op-ed. It's a letter. So the headline reads, "Letter disinviting UBC from the Vancouver Pride Parade unfairly affects Indigenous and Two-Spirit people."
Mm-hmm.
So interesting. This was posted July 30th. He's referring to the news from the Vancouver Pride Society of disinviting UBC for hosting a transphobic speaker on campus. Actually, well, they've hosted multiple. So
Right. That's
what got them pulled from the parade. They're not allowed to march, which I would say is, you know, actions have consequences.
Sure.
Right. And there's really no need to have, you know, transphobia out there. I mean, a lot of these people that are arguing that, oh, trans is, you know, trans rights is bad for women's rights. I just, you know, I'm very open to all views. You know, I try to just, you know, take it at face value, you know, try to, you know, read through what they're trying to say, but I really have yet to be presented with something that isn't completely horrible and, you know, really disgusting to trans people. Some kind of argument that doesn't hinge upon, you know, your sex is what determines your gender kind of thing, or, you know,
sure,
what's between, you know, what organs you have is what gender you are.
Right.
Yeah. So I just haven't seen anything personally. So if anyone's out there, you know, wants to send something my way, please enlighten me. But until then, I'm going to hold the position that these people are terrible transphobes and shouldn't have been on campus in the first place. And Vancouver Pride Society was correct in revoking UBC from the parade and also Vancouver Public Library.
Hmm.
Yeah. Did you see that? They also disinvited Vancouver Public Library for having.
I guess they had speakers, too.
Yeah. Sure, some transphobic speakers. Right. So. There you go.
Well, I mean, they're just trying to sell tickets, right?
Well, I mean, it's, you know, I get their policy of letting anyone in there, but still, like, it's just silly. You know, we don't, and considering, you know, we covered Trans Remembrance Day and just knowing the rates of violence are directed at these people, you know, debating whether or not they exist.
Right.
In my opinion, is just so horrible.
Right. That's like
whether or not they should be afforded rights.
Mm-hmm.
Not good.
Right. It's the most blunt violation of human rights.
I think so, at least. Okay, so moving on to Rodney's piece. So Rodney, this is from his letter. With the recent release of the Murdered and Missing Women and Girls final report on June 3rd, the following words entered Canadian society. The truth is that we live in a country whose laws and institutions perpetuate violence, violations of basic human and Indigenous rights. These violations amount to nothing less than the deliberate, often covert campaign of genocide against Indigenous women, girls, and 2SLGBTQQIA people. This is not what Canada is supposed to be about. It is not what it purports to stand for. The report confirmed that the ruling parties, both federal and provincial, have policies that amount to genocide, yet they are allowed to march in the Pride Parade.
Hmm.
Dr. Hedy Fry has been a member of Parliament for 26 years, making her the longest-serving female MP. But she and Minister of Crown Indigenous Relations, Dr. Carolyn Bennett, are members of a party whose leader, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, has had to apologize for disrespecting protesters from Grassy Narrows, a place where experts in mercury poisoning report that 90% of the population of Grassy Narrows and Wabasimong First Nations show signs of exposure to the toxin, including people born years after the dumping of mercury ended. So that's the end of Rodney, the quotes from Rodney's piece. And it seems he's arguing, you know, it's a little bit hypocritical, you know, especially in the wake of the WIG report and saying that, you know, if you're going to violate human rights, like, you know, being a transphobic speaker and hosting transphobic speakers, why are we letting colonizers march in the parade?
Right. I mean, I guess this kind of plays into the whole thing that even, unfortunately, something like the Pride Parade, which is super powerful, Pride societies within Vancouver, also have to show face, right? So they do these moves, you know, disinviting UBC, disinviting the public library to demonstrate that they're aware of people whose certain interests, or they host events which you know, go against you know, what the Pride Society,
yeah, what
advocates.
The LGBTQ community, which, you know, Vancouver Pride Society, right, represents, yeah,
exactly. And then there's a whole issue of politics, right? Because they don't want to disassociate themselves from that because it's two powerful lobbies working in accordance with each other, right?
Yeah, it's like the liberal. And I think this really represents what an issue and something that needs to be brought up is just the whiteness of it all.
Right. Because I guarantee the two presidents of each society, well, the MP and the, I'm sure the president, I'm sure they're really good friends.
Yeah, like, and it's, you know, when we're talking, you know, LGBT community, does that not include Two-Spirits? Rodney ends the piece with this really amazing quote. The theme of this year's Pride Parade is 50 years and still fighting. We, as Two-Spirits, have been fighting for over 152 years. We have stood side by side with the LGBTQ plus community to fight for equality. Will you write the Vancouver Pride Society and ask that politicians be disinvited to participate? Which I think is a very, you know, good way of framing it. You know, Indigenous people have always been fighting. They've been not only fighting for their existence, but fighting for, you know, non-colonial gender assignments of, you know, of a gender binary. You know, mm-hmm. they don't really believe in that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, where is the solidarity on the decolonization front?
Right.
From the Pride Society right back at them.
Right.
Absolutely. I honestly wasn't thinking about that at all.
No. I mean, we often forget because they're such a discriminated against group and such heavy prejudice that, you know, they got a lot of members who are complicit in maybe not this sort of social discrimination.
No.
But they're definitely a very powerful group.
We're all on stolen land here.
Right. And there are tons of professionals, right?
Yeah. And that's another thing, too. You know, there is a bourgeoisie that is
gay.
You know, yeah, the LGBTQ. You know, and, you know, this is a class analysis, you know, podcast. We're not going to discount. It's not just because you are of one oppressed group. You know, it's like saying Kamala Harris is, you know, an oppressed person, or Barack Obama is, as he drone bombs Muslims.
Right.
You know, your identity is political, obviously, right? However, it's just because you're from an oppressed community does not mean that you are not lending to the oppression of others.
Right, exactly.
Or you're actively taking a part in it, such as, you know, the LGBTQ bourgeoisie.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the ruling class has many people of different sexualities, heterosexual, homosexual, bisexual.
Absolutely.
You know? And
pedophiles.
With Jeffrey Epstein, you know, obviously not every, it's not a, you know, LGBTQ plus people are pedophiles. It's just that, you know, these people of differing sexualities. Yeah, just.
We're hating on the ruling class here.
Yeah,
sorry.
Especially, yeah. Just especially with Epstein and Dershowitz, Alan Dershowitz. Yeah.
Mm.
There was an op-ed from him arguing about the lowering the age of consent. So that's all you need to know about Dershowitz and Epstein. But yeah, so back to the Pride Society. So as long as the Pride Society really doesn't have a, you know, decolonial lens and also, you know, won't even acknowledge the class aspect of it,
mm-hmm.
quite illegitimate in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, that's tough for them. They enjoy an extremely comfortable spot in you know, kind of the chambers of power in Vancouver, and a lot of it is appropriately earned, but a lot of it is, you know, it's along the same sort of lines of exerting power that we critique every day, right?
Oh yeah. Well, yeah. And as long as, you know, the leaders in the LGBTQ community, I'm just going to assume a lot of them are, you know, profiting from, you know,
absolutely.
The capitalist system,
right?
You know, it's not like there's not going to be freedom for LGBTQ people mm-hmm. under capitalism. It's just not going to happen,
right?
So how is it that they can, you know, pretend that there's not a struggle going on, especially for Indigenous peoples who are, you know, just like we're on the heels. I know the report is almost a month old now, people,
mm-hmm.
but are we really going to forget it that fast?
Right.
Very damning report, especially for Two-Spirit people. And it just feels, and I agree with Rodney, there is an erasure of Two-Spirit people.
Right.
And in his article, he talks about how hard Two-Spirit people have been fighting to be recognized, especially on this campus, and just, you know, doing a blanket banning of UBC that really doesn't take into account those people that are fighting the good fight and fighting to be heard and fighting, you know, to just exist, especially while we're living under a genocidal settler colonial state.
Right, exactly.
Oh, It's a really, really frustrating situation, and I really do appreciate Rodney bringing that to my attention. You know, I'm usually caught up in the machinations trying to figure out what the ruling class's moves are, but you know, sometimes I need to be reminded about other struggles that are happening, and they're just as important.
So, absolutely,
yeah, great op-ed, one of the best letters I've read in the UBC in a long time. Mm-hmm. So we have a little bit of time before we go to commercials, so I'd like to play a little game with you.
Sure,
Ajit, would you like to play this game with me?
Yeah, we need more games on this show.
Well, in honor of the Slavery Abolition Act of 1833 being passed, mm-hmm. All those years ago on August 1st, Happy Emancipation Day.
Happy Emancipation Day. Yeah, excellent.
That's when slavery was abolished in the British Empire. So very colonial.
But it still
holiday.
Exists today.
Oh, we still have. It was abolished legally.
Legally. Oh,
we still have slaves.
That term carries a lot of weight.
There's tens of thousands of slaves in Canada currently.
Absolutely.
There's slaves. There are slaves.
And sexual slavery is unfortunately thriving.
Yeah. All types of slaves.
All types.
Yeah. Not just sexual, but laborers.
Right.
It's horrible. So, you know, it's very important that you bring that up because slavery's not done. Slavery just on the books.
It's a reminder on Emancipation Day that we still got to fight the fight.
Yeah, exactly. And the oppression of black people in Canada. Yes, there was slavery of black people in Canada. Do not get it twisted.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So
easy to forget.
In honor of Emancipation Day, I would like to play a game. It's called Black Indigenous Victim.
Sure.
White Killer.
Okay.
So you're going to have to tell me which it was, and I give you some media descriptors of this person. Are they the black or indigenous victim?
Right.
Or are they the white killer the media is discussing? So
sure.
Let's start with the first one. This is from CTV News.
Mm-hmm.
Good Caring.
Good Caring.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it should be the victim, right? The black indigenous victim?
Well, unfortunately, it actually are used to describe the white killers, Cam McLeod 19 and Breyer Schmegaleski, the Nazi manhunt people that are currently going on in Canada. So that's CTV News for you.
Right.
Okay, here's our next one.
Hold on.
Levels of alcohol slightly above the legal limit, relatively high level of THC, the active ingredient in marijuana.
Well, from that description right away, that instantly sounds like what I would classify as
a criminal.
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun. Especially in our war on drugs narrative.
Yeah,
world.
Or of course, obviously, a lower income white male from the rural areas of Canada, right?
Well, actually, that is the description that Global News reported of Tina Fontaine, the indigenous girl. So she was 15 at the time.
Right.
That was brutally murdered by her John. She was a sex worker.
Right.
And her body was thrown into the Manitoba River. So
It's kind of strange how living that type of lifestyle leads you to heavy abuse of drugs and alcohol, right?
Yeah, it's weird that the settler colonial state, you know, just continues the oppression. Even after you're dead.
Right.
They're going to smear you. This poor person was a victim, not a perpetrator. You should not be being smeared after your death. That's really disgusting. Okay, so next one. Got what he deserved.
Got what he deserved. The white killer?
Close. Black indigenous victim. Actually, it was
okay.
An indigenous victim, Colton Bushy. So this was from an RCMP Facebook group.
Sure.
That claimed he got what he deserved. So, okay.
I'm 0 for 3, huh?
Yeah, you're not doing so well. Okay. Prior run-in with cops, refusing to talk to police about the incident and acting combative. Who's this?
Okay, I think I'm getting the hang of this game.
Okay.
I bet it's the black indigenous victim.
It is a black man, Timothy Kaufman.
Sure.
So before we get to the rest of the story of Timothy Kaufman, we'll do the last one. Well-dressed man. Can you salvage it? Can you get this one right before
sure.
we get to the story?
I mean, going off of my prior mistakes in this game, I'm going to assume it's the killer.
White killer. So this white guy, he traveled to New York for the express purposes of killing a black man to start a race war.
Really?
Yeah.
Homicide tourism.
Yeah. So the New York Post was writing about that. So the New York Post is one of the Rupert Murdoch right-wing rags. So this man, he traveled to New York, killed the first black guy he could get his hands on. Really? Yeah. Random, totally random, right, just looking for a black guy to start a race war.
Right.
And he brutally murdered him with a sword.
Wow.
And the Post reports how he, the New York Post reports about how Timothy Kaufman had marijuana arrests.
Right.
And had AIDS.
Okay. So that clearly justifies him being randomly
James murdered. Harris Jackson, a white 28-year-old man.
Okay.
And he's described as well-dressed as a killer.
Well-dressed, wow.
So as we're dealing with genocide, erasure of you know, of colonial perspectives, just know where this is coming from. This is coming from a mainstream media that does not care about indigenous people, black people. They're going to smear them well into their death, and that is why we have such a screwed up world. Is because people, you know, where do people get their news, right? This is where they get to form the world, is the screwed up stuff. So
absolutely.
We're going to have to take a short break for commercials, but we'll be right back after that.
This Quarter Magazine has been supporting local music for over 30 years. Thanks to the long-term support of the Rickshaw Theater, This Quarter lives. This Quarter Magazine has been supporting local music for over 30 years. Thanks to the long-term support of the Rickshaw Theater, This Quarter lives.
Catch a friend, drink until the bitter ends. We shall spit and cuss.
Your favorite bands are playing at the Rickshaw Theater. Check out their calendar just behind the cover of Discorder magazine or at rickshawtheater.com.
All I want to get is a little bit closer.
The 16th Annual Vancouver Dyke March and Festival is this Saturday, August 3rd. Gather for the march at 11 a.m. at McSpadden Park, just off Commercial Drive. The march begins at noon and ends at Grandview Park, where the festival will be held from 1 to 5 p.m. Come march against sexual and gender depression, especially where it intersects. This free, family-friendly festival aims to recharge attendees through inclusive celebration.
Let me refresh your memory. Russians. That's right. Russians. Ruskies. Communists. Communists. Oh, now you remember.
Hello, hello, hello. My name is Russian Tim, and I'm the host of weekly punk rock radio show called Rocket from Russia. Every Tuesday, 10:30 to 11:30 a.m., Rocket from Russia is aired on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, or CITR.ca, anywhere where internet is paid for. On the show, I play new, local, and international punk rock, and I also do interviews with members of punk bands and people from the punk rock scene. If you'd like to check out the previous interviews, episodes of Rocket from Russia, and the list of upcoming shows in Vancouver, head down to my blog, rocketfromrussia.tumblr.com. Great success!
What's up, everybody? We're back. You're listening to the Spencer Latu Show on CITR 101.9 FM. Okay, so moving on to our next topic, we are discussing further oppression under the capitalist system. And this is coming through the moderate wing of fascism.
It's a bit of an oxymoron, isn't it?
Well, there is moderate fascism, as we're going to get to through these quotes from a theoretician who will remain unnamed.
Mm.
We'll just give the initials JVS. Okay, so from these quotations, it is not true that fascism is only the fighting organization of the bourgeoisie. Fascism is not only a military technical category. Fascism is the bourgeoisie's fighting organization that relies on the active support of social democracy. So what is social democracy? Social democracy, you can think of it as Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Bernie Sanders, the NDP. Right. You know, this is a capitalist system right. that, you know, has a social safety net for people.
Right.
You know,
something like Germany.
You know, we have, like Switzerland or right. Netherlands, you know, where we still live under the dictatorship of the bourgeoisie, right. you know, the people who control business, control the government, and right. control how society is run. And society is organized in a capitalist fashion. However, you know, you get health care, daycare, if you're really lucky,
right.
And all that other jazz.
You're afforded a lot of social
benefits,
right.
However, you know, unfortunately, as we're learning, you know, those social benefits can get quickly taken away under capitalism as the bourgeoisie and the state decide that, you know what, maybe all that money being spent on the people, it could be better put towards, you know, guns, bombs, and Kinder Morgan's pipeline.
Sure.
So, okay, so social democracy. Social democracy is objectively the moderate wing of fascism. There is no ground for assuming that the fighting organization of the bourgeoisie can achieve decisive success in battles or in governing the country without the active support of social democracy. There is just as little ground for thinking that social democracy can achieve decisive success in battles or in governing the country without the active support of the fighting organization of the bourgeoisie. So, you know, social democracy is part and parcel of the bourgeoisie. You can't, we still have right. a ruling class.
Well, I mean, who's legislating these programs?
Yeah. Right? And who's donating to these parties, right?
Right.
You know, who's picking these politicians and who's doing all this work, right?
There's right.
Who controls the economic power?
Right. Exactly.
Controls the state.
Right. And I mean, since a lot of the funding for these programs come from having higher tax rates, I'm sure these people want, you know, they want more control too.
Yeah, of course. They're like, hey, you know, I'm paying for all this.
Right.
I get to run the show.
Right.
These organizations do not negate, but supplement each other. They are not antipodes. They are twins. Fascism is an informal political bloc of these two chief organizations, a bloc which arose in the circumstances of the post-war crisis of imperialism and which is intended for combating the proletarian revolution. So what's being argued here is that, you know, as the wars, as World War I ended, you know, there's massive crises. The world, Europe was, you know, devastated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how millions of people's lives were gone. So, you know, what do you do to fix it, right?
Right.
The people are about to, people were revolting in 1917 in Russia from what was happening to them. So,
right.
you know, how do you stop people from doing that?
That was their biggest fear.
Social democracy.
Right.
That's the solution. I mean,
right.
you know, and as we go on, the bourgeoisie cannot retain power without such a bloc. It would therefore be a mistake to think that pacifism signifies the liquidation of fascism. Mm, in the present situation, pacifism is a strengthening of fascism with its moderate social democratic wing pushed into the forefront. So, you know, this is kind of breaking down the illusion of, you know, liberal democracy and how we live in a peaceful time. Because you hear that a lot from, you know, from politicians. Peace, right?
Right.
We live in peace.
Right.
Just tell that to the people of Africa.
Exactly.
Tell that to the people of Venezuela who are under, you know, constant imperial embargo. Tell that to the people of Cuba who have been under an embargo for the past 50 years.
Right.
Tell that to the people of Iran who are under sanctions.
Right.
You know, tell that to Libya.
Practically,
to Syria as the U.S. arms al-Qaeda to go kill, to go wipe out ethnic communities.
Right, right. Practically, I mean, 80% of the world's population lives under these type of circumstances.
80% of the world's population lives under $10 a day or less.
Right.
So that's what the rest of the world is. Peace for who?
For the NIMBY crowd.
Yeah, for the people who want to shut themselves off into the little boxes, turn on CNN and pretend that everything's okay.
Right.
Yeah. So back to these quotations. It does not, of course, follow that pacifism is not a serious danger to the revolution. Peace is good. Hot take.
Right, right.
Pacifism serves to sap the foundations of bourgeois rule. It is creating favorable conditions for the revolution, but it can have these results only against the will of the pacifists and Democrats themselves. Only if the parties vigorously expose the imperialist and counter-revolutionary nature of the pacifist democratic rule. And then this author is referring to British Prime Minister, Labour leader Macdonald. So we can just, as a modern day comparison, think Corbyn.
Sure.
And the French Premier Harriot, which you can, you know, think Macron. But I'm sure there's a French socialist leader as well.
Sure,
yeah,
sure.
So. Okay, so what they're talking about that is that, you know, don't listen to the people who are saying that we have peace. Don't listen to the people who say that we have democracy. Work to actually create those things.
Mm-hmm.
Work to create the material conditions of peace where there is no more terrorists in Syria being armed by the United States.
Right.
You know, get it so that we don't live in an oligarchy. We share that Northwestern study that, you know, definitively proves that the top income earners legislation that they prefer gets passed more than the ones for the vast majority of the population.
Right, absolutely.
So we live in an oligarchy, objectively.
Obvious. Right, right.
And I'm sure anyone that's been paying attention can see that.
Right.
I would hope so.
I hope so, too.
But no, we have pacifists and Democrats who say otherwise, right? So that's why we need to organize against these people.
Right.
But we want those things. We want democracy and peace.
Right.
But we need to argue against the people who say we already have them, which we don't.
Absolutely.
Okay. Hopefully that kind of clears that up. As for what the pacifists and Democrats want, as for the policy of the imperialists, so that's another important thing, sorry to cut it off early, pacifists are also imperialists. So these people that say we have peace, like Obama, are drone bombing Muslims.
Right.
The people that say we have democracy, like Hillary Clinton saying that America's already great, you know, they, you know, pass legislation and, you know, take money from fellow ruling class business leaders.
Right.
So Hillary Clinton goes into a Wall Street meeting, says, I have a public position, but I also have a private position.
Right. Right.
So, you know,
I mean, this whole pacifism.
And what's her private position? Let's bomb Libya.
Right. Exactly. And I'll fund you guys. I'll give you guys tax breaks.
Yeah. We'll bail you out again. Okay. So
the pacifism is a charade.
Yeah.
Right? It's a veil.
Pacifism, air quotes.
Exactly.
Democrats, air quotes.
Right.
But we want we want those ideals.
Exactly.
As socialists.
Or at least espouse them.
Huh? Well, I mean, I would like to live in a peaceful world. That's why I believe in socialism.
From politicians.
Yeah. The air quotes people.
Right.
Okay. Okay. Hopefully everyone's still with us here. Okay. As for what the pacifists and Democrats want, as for the policy of the imperialists, they have only one aim in resorting to pacifism: to dupe the masses with high-sounding phrases about peace in order to prepare for a new war, to dazzle the masses with the brilliance of democracy in order to consolidate the dictatorship of the bourgeoisie, to stun the masses with the clamor about the sovereign rights of a nation and states in order the more successfully to prepare for intervention in, and this was written in 1924, so...
Wow.
To prepare for intervention in China, for slaughter in Afghanistan and in the Sudan, for the dismemberment of Persia, which was what Iran was called in 1924, to fool the masses with the highfalutin talk about friendly relations with the Soviet Union at the time, Russia now,
of course.
Which, I mean, ironically enough, they're really harping on, you know, starting war with Russia,
right?
About various treaties with the Soviet government, Russia, in order to establish still closer relations with the counter-revolutionary conspirators who have been kicked out of Russia, with the aim of bandit operations in Belarus, the Ukraine, which we can see right now, there's a civil war in the Ukraine being sponsored by the United States and NATO, giving money to the Ukrainian Nazis. So, you know, that's half of my heritage. So that's a little bit troubling, to say the least.
Right.
And Georgia, which is, you know, another place they're having problems in as well. So, sure. You know, so 1924, 2019. Not much has changed geopolitically.
No, not at all.
Weird, when the U.S. is global hegemon, these problems continue to arise.
Right.
Weird. Okay, so there's a lot to unpack there. But basically, you know, what they want, so they're using peace and democracy,
right,
which don't exist objectively. There's tons of war, more war ever, really,
right,
than there ever has been. I mean, look how many bombs were dropped on Yugoslavia in 1999.
Right.
Why? No one even, you know, what was up with that?
Right.
Right? You know, peace in Iraq? No.
No.
That's now it's controlled by ISIS. Peace in Afghanistan?
Right.
Look at all these places that are constant war. And, you know, by saying that, oh, we want peace, we have peace, I'm in the NDP, I'm Jeremy Corbyn, I'm Bernie Sanders.
Right.
It's just to trick people.
Exactly.
To keep permanent war the way it is. Keep the global war on terror the way it is.
Right.
Yeah.
And in a weird way, kind of demonstrate that this is my most ideal personal opinion, but I got to work within the confines of the system.
Yeah. You vote for me because of peace and democracy, but when I'm in office, none of that's going to happen because, you know, I'm not going to change the structure that that does not allow that to happen.
Exactly. And another way in which this kind of assists their, you know, warmongering position is that you kind of seem – you're kind of by always, you know, advocating and acting as a proponent of peace at all times. So the times that you do have to fight a war – well, it acts on two fronts. One, it conceals the true nature of those shady black operations that you're fully supporting, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Drone bombs are part of the program. They're part of the 50 cents of every U.S. dollar spent on the war. The liberals here passed $70 billion extra to the military over 10 years. The NDP critic says, why not sooner?
Sure, right.
Why not give it right now? Why over 10 years?
Right.
That's the left critique, by the way, right. Just so you know.
There you
go. These pacifists, air quotes, and New Democratic Party.
Right.
You know. Air quotes.
Right. And sorry, and quickly, the second fold is that, you know, when it is time to go to war, you can easily...
Then you say it's for democracy.
Exactly. Or you these high sort of moral values. Yeah. That, you know, we don't like to go to war often. Like,
but we must.
We must. This is...
X person in oil-rich countries a dictator.
Right.
Saddam, Maduro, Gaddafi, Assad, you know, all these people with oil-rich nations. Turns out everyone's a dictator. You know who's not a dictator that needs to be invaded for whatever reason? Kingdom of Saudi Arabia.
Right.
Think about that for a second, folks.
Hey, don't worry. Today they granted women the right to travel while...
Democracy, finally. To each person gets one car. That's what Henry Ford was thinking about democracy. But they have to buy it from him. Sure. Okay, so back to the quotations. The bourgeoisie needs pacifism as a camouflage, just like Ajit so articulately put. This camouflage constitutes the chief danger of pacifism. Whether the bourgeoisie will succeed in its aim of fooling the people depends upon the vigor in which the socialists in the West and in the East expose the bourgeoisie upon their ability to tear the mask from the imperialist and pacifist clothing. Very, very prescient words.
Right.
Right. And that's what we're trying to do on the show. This is why, you know, I suggest to everybody, because in the West it's very hard to organize, but just get the info out there. Tell people, hey, peace is not real. Democracy, total lie. You know,
right.
We live in a police state. You know, it's not real.
Right.
How many black people have been executed on smartphones? What's up with that?
Right.
Nothing. Okay. Okay. Back to the quotations. There is no doubt that events and practice will work in favor of the socialists in this respect by exposing the discrepancy between the pacifist words and the imperialist deeds of the democratic servitors of capital. It is the duty of the socialists to keep pace with events and ruthlessly to expose every step, every act of service to imperialism and betrayal of the proletariat committed by the parties of, you know, what is left of the left.
Right.
Here. So that's our goal here. We're just exposing the imperialists for what they are. You know, that's the only way we're going to move forward. If we really believe in this crap that, you know, we live in peaceful times. We're screwed.
Right, absolutely.
The ruling class of people who own the means of production, you know, who own the factories, who own Amazon, who own Apple, who own Google, you know, they're going to stay in charge. The people, the military industrial complex is going to stay in charge.
Absolutely.
Silicon Valley is going to stay in charge.
Right.
Until we can, you know, and as long as people keep believing the lies.
Right.
You know, because if you don't believe the lies, then it becomes my moral imperative at least to do what I can to overthrow them, because these are not peaceful people.
No.
They're not Democrats. They're imperialists.
Right, absolutely. And their constraints on us are more invisible. So we...
Well, they do it through these words,
exactly.
Right? So once again, expose the discrepancy between the pacifist words and the imperialist deeds.
Right.
So that's space between
them.
You
gotta notice the discrepancy, right? That's all it is. And it's not that hard to bridge the gap, right?
You would think that.
Well, I mean, what do we tell? Why can't people see what's right in front of them?
It's Venezuela will be different,
right?
Ajit. It's not gonna be like Syria, Libya, Afghanistan, Iraq, Yugoslavia, Somalia, let's think, what else? Cuba,
right.
Nicaragua, El Salvador, Chile, Guatemala, Greece.
Sure.
People forget about Greece.
Right.
Korea, Vietnam, Cambodia, Laos,
right.
China, Japan when they drop nukes on them.
Right.
You know, World War II. It's going to be different this time.
Right. I'm sure it will be. It's tough, and it's, we just look at the track record, and why would they do it any different if their formula, because people don't, it's their words and their deeds, right?
And they're richer than ever.
Right.
Bill Gates, great humanitarian, is richer than he was the last time I checked.
Sure, I'm sure he is.
He is.
Yeah.
He's still absurdly wealthy.
Ridiculous amount of money that he's not going to spend or has any intention of spending, but it's that power which comes with it.
Yeah.
That's what he's more interested in.
Absolutely. And these people, you know, if once again, there would be no wars if this was true, we wouldn't be doing this.
Right. And it's the conclusions. Look at their objectives, rather. It never goes towards their objective.
Mm-hmm.
Their objectives are just a selling point.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, even like I was a Bernie bro. That's how I got into politics. You know, I saw a Lil B the Base God post about Bernie Sanders. I'm like, who's this guy? Looked into him. I'm like, this is great. then you find out the truth.
Right.
The words of Bernie Sanders are very good. We're going to break up the banks. Right. You know, that's great. I love that.
Right.
But we also got to deal with the fact that, you know, he's voted for every single U.S. military budget.
Sure.
He bombed Yugoslavia, voted to bomb Yugoslavia.
Right. I mean, the
war criminal. You're a war criminal when you do that, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, Obama, I thought he was cool.
Yeah.
And drone bombs people, starts a war in Libya.
In terms of foreign policy, he was just a black George Bush.
And on that note, we're going to go to commercial. That was amazing. Okay, we'll be right back after this.
MRG Concerts presents Detroit indie rocker Steph Chura will be performing at the Biltmore Cabaret on August 1st with Vancouver's own Dadweed. Don't miss this show and grab your tickets at eventbrite.com or Red Cat Records.
Crimes and Treasons Radio, this is Riff Raff. Every Tuesday from 9 to 11 p.m. on 101.9 FM. With Relly Rails and Jules Andre Brown.
What's up, everybody? We're back. So we just discussed how social democracy is the moderate wing of fascism. So it's the nicest way of doing things. It's the nicest way of keeping imperialism, permanent war, you know, resource extraction, colonization, everything horrible happening in the world. We're going to do that with a nice smile on our face. You know, everyone's like, oh, we want to be like Switzerland. Well, does anyone talk about Switzerland's, you know, flagrant exploitation of Africa?
Right.
Where do those social programs come from?
Right. It's from the government.
And where does the government get the money?
From the bourgeoisie.
And where do they get their money?
From the initiating these programs.
They steal it from the global south through war, death, and destruction. You know?
They utilize the agency of their states to do that.
Yeah, the state agency, it's one big club and you're not in it.
Right. It's almost as if because they're marginally benevolent to the working and middle classes, which they oppress anyways, that we assume that they would rather not choose to oppress the developing world.
Which is, you know, makes just too much sense, so it can't be real.
Right.
There you go. Okay, now that we've popped the bubble of social democracy, that was written in 1924.
Right.
And we can't think of anything more prescient to this point. Mm. So now let's go to a 2019 article by Reed Wildermuth. This is from Gods and Radicals, a beautiful resistance.org. The site is, once again, Gods and Radicals. The future is fascist. Okay, interesting. Sure. Pretty provocative title.
More like the present is, but yes.
Yeah, once again, so we just made the argument about social democracy. We live under a social democracy, right?
Right, right.
And that's just moderate fascism.
Right,
which, absolutely. You know, if you think about Canada specifically, the state has confirmed we're committing a genocide.
Right.
We have a horrible foreign policy of overthrowing democratically elected people such as Haiti.
Right. We love exporting arms.
Absolutely. Sell arms to Saudi Arabia. No problem to be used on innocent people in Yemen.
Right.
Overthrew Honduras. Trying to overthrow Venezuela right now.
Right.
Joined in on Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm.
Joined in on bombing Yugoslavia.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and Canada, you're not supposed to, but guess what? Canada was part of Vietnam too.
Absolutely.
So there you go. Okay, so hopefully, you know, we understand that, you know, this is, you know, don't get me wrong, like Canada, rah, 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 but, you know, this is, by all definitions, you know, fascism is what, you know, the merging of private and public into one.
Exactly.
So when the Canadian, you know, when the Canadian foreign ministry, who is headed by a Nazi family.
We always got to remind
just,
you.
Just so you know, our foreign policy is being directed by a Nazi. So just think about that. She's proud of her Nazi grandfather.
Well,
that's her, not me. Okay. It's not too much of a stress. So, you know, what Reed is arguing in this one is that, you know, you hear this all the time in the media, Ajit. Trump is bringing fascism.
Mm-hmm.
Boris Johnson is bringing fascism.
Right.
You know, Jair Bolsonaro is bringing fascism.
Right.
No. They're just one side of the same coin that's always been happening.
Right, right.
Andrew Scheer is the same as Justin Trudeau. There are two sides of the same coin.
Right. They're just Obama, more prominent Trump. In the spectacle.
Trump just feeds the spectacle.
Right.
You know, he just gives them, you know, CBC News Alerts is basically just Trump tweets at this point.
Right, right.
You know, and just Trump just says what the program is. We're going to ban all Muslims. And that was supposed to be terrible. Yet, but when Obama was drone bombing them, that's okay.
Right.
What's up with that? Don't get me wrong. One side of the coin is far worse than the other. But that's why we make the distinction. One is the brutal military crushing of the proletariat, and the other side is, which is social democracy, is making concessions to the proletariat, the working class, all of us who make wages and salaries.
Right.
One is concessions, the other is brutal crackdown. Right. So this is a very provocative article. I really enjoyed it. So Reed writes, so in this view, Trump, Brexit, as well as the many increasing instances of street violence by nationalists and racists and explicit hatred for trans, queer, immigrant, and other vulnerable groups are all last-ditch efforts from people. Okay, sorry, before we get to all that. So there's one theory that you get out there, right? The one theory is that, you know, Trump is bringing fascism. And that these are all just very pissed off white people that lost all their privileges that they had under, you know, up to this point.
Right.
That's one story.
Right.
This takes apart that narrative. So I'm gonna jump back into the article. So sure. If that's what you believe, tune out right now because you're not gonna like what this guy has to say to you. Okay.
Or maybe you might like it.
Well, I mean, I hope you like it. And right. I hope you wake up and you know, we need as many people as we can to start looking around because we're gonna make the argument after this article about, you know, what I think the final I'll make the argument. We're near the end.
Sure.
Explicit hatred for trans, queer, immigrant, and other vulnerable groups are all a last-ditch effort from people who have realized they were losing. These fascists then are counter-revolutionaries attempting to stop the slow but inevitable march of progress towards liberal utopia. Hmm. They are people looking backwards towards an imagined past because they refuse to learn someone's pronouns or not sexually harass women. They've seen the writing on the wall, the prophetic end to patriarchy, white supremacy, and all other systems which privilege them all over others, and they're trying to stop their downfall. This is a beautiful, comforting narrative. It offers hope to those directly suffering from such violence that things will once again be better, and even more so. We are winning, it whispers to us. This is just a temporary setback, and thus we organize against fascism as if we are engineers attempting to put a train back on its tracks to move our societies again in the direction they were heading in the first place. We treat these apparent interruptions as not so much an emergency, but a temporary inconvenience. Once we've set things right again, which is often, you know, meant by get a Democrat in office again, right, we'll have our rights and freedoms and security and can finally be on our way again towards the future destination of equality. Sounds about how most 95% of the left sees it today. Would you say so?
Right, right.
Trump. Exactly. Vote for Trudeau. We can't have Scheer.
I mean, we're really hypocritical, the left here, because we like to denounce, you know, Trump is just, he's a man of a few words. He's a 140 character president, this and that. Well, we kind of buy into those same slogans, too. If not, we're probably worse.
If worse. Yeah. If worse. You know, what's everyone organizing, right? They're organizing around stopping Trump. What if it's not Trump? What if it's the social democratic system?
Right. Well, that's what they want you to do. Just target Trump.
It's just Trump.
Right.
Vote for the Democrats.
Right.
No. The Democrats are the other side of that coin.
Exactly.
They need to be stopped. The whole thing needs to be stopped.
The coin needs to be tossed in the grinder.
Wow. Amazing. Very well said. Okay. So moving on to why the future is fascist. The rise of the authoritarian surveillance state. So when the state appears in most theories about fascism, it's seen as a passive actor, like a parent attempting to intervene between siblings. Our way of looking at the state's role in the rise of fascism presumes it to be a neutral tool the fascists wish to seize for their own will. So just like Trump and the Republicans, we got to stop the Republicans. They're trying to take over the state. We got to deprive them from the state, because if they don't have the state, then it's fine, because the state is a neutral actor.
Yeah.
Which is articles arguing against. So back to the article.
Right.
As with other aspects of this narrative, this view ignores the profound increase in police and surveillance powers that the governments of the world have enacted for the last several decades. So, Ajit, you know, we covered on this show how the RCMP is targeting indigenous environmentalists, mm-hmm. Environmentalists, actually all environmentalists. They're targeting in the States, there's the Patriot Act.
Right.
Right. Department of Homeland Security has created ICE.
Right.
Concentration camps. In Canada, I think it's Bill C-21, which gives the government complete spying powers on us. We have the Five Eyes Nations
right.
Of the West that can spy on anybody that they wish to. The NSA can spy on anybody on the Internet.
Right.
So, you know, there's a lot of surveillance going on. to say the least.
Right.
Everybody's phone listens to them. So you talk about something, then boom, it shows up in your social media. That's just the state of things, right?
Exactly.
Right. So, you know, think about that, folks. Keep that in your mind. Okay. So now we're moving on. These increases have occurred as much and sometimes more under centrist, liberal, and even leftist governments as they have under conservative or right-wing governments, particularly in the United States, the United Kingdom, France, and Germany since 2000. For instance, the longest state of emergency in France was declared and extended 6 times. So this is something similar to, you know, like martial law kind of, you know, war on terror-esque thing, but for
right,
France.
Right.
So it was extended 6 times by socialist president François Hollande, Gerhard Schroeder in Germany, and Tony Blair in the UK also implemented significant expansions on security and surveillance powers for their respective governments. And President Barack Obama, liberal hero in the United States, not only failed to dismantle the massive power grab implemented by the Patriot Act, but he expanded many of its internal and external policies, including an increase in drone warfare and the legalization of extrajudicial killings of American citizens abroad. In fact, if we take this accumulation into account, we get a completely different picture of what has been occurring. The state which the fascists seem to want to seize is far from neutral. The governments of the world have become increasingly authoritarian and increasingly powerful, reducing the overall freedoms of the people they rule despite offering up a few new freedoms to select minorities.
Right.
Ajit, any thoughts on that?
No, I mean, I love that this article complements the one we just talked about prior to this, mm-hmm. about this kind of this double speak, right? You know,
yeah.
The perfect term. It's that, you know, well, under this guise, under this charade of being liberal, like that word,
we're legalizing
any
gay marriage,
right? Exactly,
that's freedom.
You give these social concessions and very,
but we're going to
spy
on everything you do on your computer,
right? Exactly, and these very marginal economic concessions. But
well,
but,
even then, I mean, right. Let's think of we've discussed this. Wages have stagnated.
Right.
The cost of living has gone up.
Right. Right.
So, and the part I skipped over in this, I should mention is the fact that material conditions for people have gotten worse over time.
Right.
Right. So, you know, while we have these, like, you know, liberal spectacles of, you know, trans people are, you know, the bathroom bills and stuff like that. And,
right.
You know, and they pay lip service. But, you know, is trans, you know, reassignment surgery covered by the state?
No.
No.
Yeah.
You know, is healthcare even completely covered by the state? No. You know, is housing, you know, does everyone have housing? No. Like a disproportionate amount of LGBTQ teens are on the streets and even adults, right? You
right.
know, like tons of people are on the streets. So
right.
where the material conditions are getting worse. We only see more and more homeless people, more and more people are starving, more and more people have to crowdfund. GoFundMe is America's largest health insurance provider.
Right.
You know, in Canada, 46% of Canadians are $400 away from being financially insolvent.
Right.
So, you know, where's the freedoms?
Right.
Certainly not economic, which is, you know, quite frankly, more important than getting married.
Absolutely.
Let's be honest here.
Yeah.
Would you rather be on the street or be able to get married?
Right. Like, pick your choice.
Right? I know, right? So it's just, you know, I'm not saying that it's not important or it's trivial, but as far as, like, material wealth and material things that people have, those are being stripped away
right.
by the second.
And it's also, we got to recognize, it's a key strategy that you utilize. Like, what was the Patriot Act? It was masqueraded.
Right after 9/11.
Right. And it was masqueraded as this massive implementation of security, which would protect us. But really, all the clauses were just ways to infiltrate your civil liberties.
Yeah. Just right. a spy. And who are the people getting prosecuted by the Patriot Act? Environmentalist groups, right?
Right?
Who are the terror groups? Palestinian Liberation, you know,
sure.
people? The PLO
Communists.
Was put... Yeah. Oh, those crazy leftists need to be monitored by the Patriot Act.
Right.
Like, the Patriot Act is not protecting people from, you know, from Al-Qaeda,
mm-hmm.
considering that Al-Qaeda was created by the CIA itself.
Sure.
Osama bin Laden was was created, you know, to fight the USSR in Afghanistan. That's where they're funneling billions of dollars into these people. So the people that you're trying to protect are actually just creations of the United States.
Right.
It's absurd. So the next section is fascism and the climate crisis.
Hmm.
We've been covering the climate crisis a lot.
Absolutely.
Right.
Out
so
timing.
Yeah. Therein, though, is the hint as to what is actually behind the increasing authoritarian trends. Whether those be state-led or populist, because fascism is a reaction after all, but not a reaction against aesthetic increase in social rights for select minorities. Instead, it is a reaction to an emergency.
Right.
Uh-oh. We're in a... Who says we're in a climate emergency again?
Pretty much every scientist.
Well, and what political factions are pushing the climate crisis?
of course,
narrative.
Like, right. Any sort of
the social democrats,
fake environmentalists.
Well, the, right. the environmental NGOs, right. the fake left politicians, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Jeremy Corbyn, Bernie Sanders. You know, these people that are held up as, you know, the next Lenin and Che Guevara,
right.
you know. No, they're the ones, you know, demanding we're in an emergency. And this begs a question, you know, why? You know, we've been covering the Green New Deal on the show for weeks now. If you've been following our coverage, you know, we've exposed through some, you know, investigative journalism, a.k.a. searching it on YouTube, mm-hmm. that the global Green New Deal came out in 2009.
Right.
This is not a grassroots effort by Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez in the Bronx.
Right.
You know, this is the machinations of the UN, right? So who are the UN Foundation partners? Who are the people that have a stake in the global Green New Deal?
Well, let's read some names out.
We're naming names.
Sure.
United Nations Foundation's partner, Disney.
Disney, who? Mickey Mouse.
Disney, fantastic propagandists.
Right.
Royal Dutch Shell.
Okay.
The climate warriors of the oil industry.
Right.
If you actually can see their ads on your Facebook about how green they are.
Right.
It's absurd.
It's so weird.
The Nike Foundation.
Hmm.
Great, great working conditions for their sweatshops.
Right.
The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Casually testing, Zika virus vaccines on Africans.
Hmm.
What a great testing ground to do that on Africa. They're black, so no one cares.
Right.
Happy Emancipation Day, Bill and Melinda. Johnson & Johnson, one of the world's largest corporations.
Right.
Walgreens, William and Flora Hewlett Foundation. So, you know, Hewlett-Packard right there.
Right.
Bilateral and multilateral donors. Government of Canada, Government of Australia, Denmark, Finland, Germany, Norway, Sweden, the Netherlands, UAE, United Kingdom, United States, and the World Bank.
Right.
Weird. All the social democracies, the moderate wing of fascism.
Yeah.
Foundations and nonprofits, American Red Cross, Bill and Melinda, Bloomberg, Church, the Mormon Church is in on this. Jeez, everyone's getting a piece of this.
They're highly active in the security apparatus. So,
well, I mean, that's why they're keeping everyone's DNA, right?
Right.
The Ford Foundation, Rockefeller Brothers Fund, Rockefeller Foundation, Seton Hall University, Silicon Valley Community Foundation, Steph and Aisha Curry Family Foundation.
Wow.
It's incredible. Tides Foundation.
Right.
So that Tides is Warren Buffett. The Turner Foundation. It's incredible.
It just reaches across all levels of society.
It doesn't matter.
Culture, right.
Yeah, if you got money, you know, we got something for you. Corporations, so we have ExxonMobil, Alibaba Group, Amazon Web Services, so they're selling their services to...
From every country, to
ICE, yeah. This is not just America. This is global. Once again, Global Green New Deal, which is what it started as.
Right.
Now, the Global Green New Deal started in 2002, right after the 2008 financial crisis. That's when they needed. They knew they had a problem, and as we showed in the video last week, it starts off with we have a crisis on our hands, and it's the financial crisis.
Right.
Oh, but we have another crisis too. Just the environment, the thing that in which the economy depends on.
Right. Right.
So, but that's just that's an afterthought. That's an externality.
Yeah.
Back to the corporations, AOL Charitable Foundation, Bank of America, Barclays, Caterpillar Foundation. So Caterpillar is selling construction vehicles destruction vehicles to Israel to break down East Jerusalem apartments. Chevron, Dell, who else is there? ExxonMobil, you know, climate warriors, Goldman Sachs, Google, who was created by the CIA, H&M, fast fashion, horrible for the environment, JP Morgan, massive fossil fuel investor, Lululemon, shouts out Vancouver, Mars Incorporated, candy bars, really good for everyone's health, MasterCard, fantastic for consumerism, Morgan Stanley Global Impact Funding, thank you Morgan Stanley, you benevolent bank, you, Nestle that bottles up the last of Earth's drinkable water, Nike Foundation, Nike Incorporated, Pfizer, Philips, Procter & Gamble, Royal Dutch Shell, Safaricom, so Safaricom makes tear gas to be used on protesters in Ferguson, from Ferguson to Palestine, it's Safaricom's making a buck off of it, Samsung, so they make all their, you know, where do their products get the minerals, the rare earth minerals they need for it? Well, they'll just use Chinese slaves or African slaves,
right.
Preferably children by these people. Swarovski diamonds. Oh, I wonder where diamonds come from.
Sure.
Diamond mines in Africa. So the Coca-Cola company, as which we covered, is a horrific company that murders union leaders. The Walt Disney company, who was, unfortunately, Walt Disney was a Nazi. Unilever, they have, one of the largest cosmetic corporations, so horrible for the environment, massive consumerism, targeting young girls to the extent that, you know, suicide rates have jumped up. And they also have plantations in Africa. Viacom, one of the world's largest telecoms. It's everybody's here.
Everybody's in on it.
Yeah. Everybody's here in the UN Foundation. It's one big club. And you're not in it.
Right. Exactly.
That's all. That's it. That's all, folks. You know, it's not this antagonistic of big oil versus big green and just and the UN is this neutral arbiter.
Right.
It's just all they're all it's all the same.
Right.
It's the ruling class that calls the shots, not us. Don't be naive. It's really frustrating when people, you know, talk about this, you know, green stuff and they don't even know who's funding it all.
Mm-hmm.
It's the least green people on earth. It's just it's right in front of your fucking face.
Right. And this is excellent, you know, segmentation following the articles we just discussed, right? About how, you know, their words they use, you know, this United Nations Foundation for Global Development, all this and that, right?
And who are these people?
Right. Who's supporting it?
The people that caused the crisis
right.
are now going to make a buck off of it, and that's what we're supposed to go along with.
Right.
Okay. That was a lot there. You're listening to the Spencer Latchey Show on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting live from NCMS Cream Territory. We're discussing the Green New Deal and social democracy, the moderate wing of fascism. So what we have here is a convergence of the largest corporations on earth. All, you know, operating through the neutral international body that is, you know, supposed to, you know, deal with climate change. But, you know, something that I'd like to note, go on to any of these foundations or corporations or anyone that talks about green, whatever. Note how they always add, we want to continue prosperity. That's a very key thing on them.
Mm-hmm.
We already passed Earth Overshoot Day. Do you know what Earth Overshoot Day is, Ajit?
No.
It's when we use... the amount of resources, we use enough resources that Earth cannot regenerate them in time.
Sure.
So we used a year's worth of resources by mid-July.
By mid-July, sure.
So that's how absurd and obscene this system is.
Right.
You know, regardless of all the decades worth of damage we've done, whether it was exploding nuclear weapons testing, 2,000 nuclear weapons were tested in the atmosphere, right. Which is now why everyone's born with radiation in their bodies.
Right.
So if you're born after 1980, you're irradiated, I'm irradiated, we're all irradiated.
Right.
Things that bring us together, we're all human, and we all have radiation poisoning.
There you go.
It's really sick, and... This this is supposed to be, and once again, this is why social democracy, it's the same thing.
Right.
It's not militant. It's not going to, you know, use racial slurs like Trump does.
No.
It's just going to blow people up and try to cover it up until, you know, WikiLeaks exposes it. And then they go on the manhunt to go kill Julian Assange.
Right.
Because that's how this game works with the social democrats. So there's no peace and there's no democracy.
No.
These are all lies. And now we turn to, you know, what are the social democrats coming up with their new plan? What's going to save us from this?
Hmm.
It's the Green New Deal.
Right.
That's what's going to do it for us. That's what's going to save us. And when what have we exposed already on the show? And please listen to the back catalog, especially the Green New Deal episodes.
Right.
We've already discussed how the Green New Deal in it presupposes the U.S. continue to be the world hegemon, and they export the Green New Deal, I put in air quotes, because it's not green, and it's certainly not new, and it's not a good deal.
Right.
So no one's winning on this one. They're going to continue to export imperialism. They're going to continue to take over countries. They're going to continue to destabilize governments. They're going to continue to steal resources. And that's in the legislation. Look it up. As well, they're committed to building smart grids. And what are smart grids? Use for what are we gonna does anyone hear the word smart
right.
recently in the news, maybe in Toronto? Oh yeah, Sidewalk Labs in the smart city in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
Where people are subjugated 24/7 from all angles surveillance,
right,
to make the city more efficient,
right.
Oh, but you can stream stuff faster on your phone.
Mm-hmm.
But you're spied on all the time,
right.
And everything in your house has Wi-Fi capability, so it can track where you are, when you're in your home, what you're doing in there,
right.
And that's the Green New Deal for you folks. And guess where all those raw materials and guess how you even build a windmill? It takes raw materials to build solar panels and windmills. It takes fossil fuels. So we're not getting off fossil fuels.
No.
You're just going to use them for different things. That's why Exxon is part of this UN foundation. They're not a rogue element. Right. They're just one part of the ruling class. Exactly. Sure, obviously, ExxonMobil doesn't want to turn off the taps right away. They want to make as much money as they can, but they're still going to make a buck at the end of the day.
Right.
Let's see, what else is in the Green New Deal that's terrible? Yeah, so we covered imperialism, smart cities, the renewable energy farce. Once again, the renewable energy, that's just electricity.
Right.
It's not going to take us off fuel. We don't have another way of fuel. Oh, wait, they've also come up with that too. Biofuel.
Biofuel, right. And yeah. What is that, corn?
No, what they're going to do is make genetically engineered trees and have tree farms. That's what right. the reforestation part of the Green New Deal is.
Right.
Is create genetically engineered trees. Oh, sorry, biomass. That's a
biomass.
Biodiesel was corn. You're right.
Right.
I apologize. It's biomass. So they're going to use trees because trees are environmentally friendly, and trees are another great code word for the greens. Net zero. Cutting down a tree is a net zero carbon emission thing to do.
Hmm. Wow, well done.
Al Gore jumping on his private jet to Davos, to the World Social Forum. He's a jet setter, but he's carbon neutral, he says. He lives a net zero life.
Right, I'm sure he does.
Yeah, according to Al Gore, yeah.
And don't forget those crazy R&D environmental programs they got, like carbon capturing.
Yes, thank you, Ajit. Okay, and then because we all know that this is not going to work, there's no way that this plan can ever work. And it requires fossil fuels, so what are you going to have to do? Oh, and it also requires continuing prosperity.
Right.
So that means that our horrible consumerist culture, which, you know, you buy something, you throw it in the trash 90 days later, must continue and, in fact, must accelerate to keep the rates of profit happy for these, you know, billionaire oligarchs. We have trillion-dollar companies. When's enough?
Mm-hmm.
When is it enough?
Right.
No. Okay. So now, in order to keep that going, to keep everyone's, because everyone wants their one day shipping, because they'd rather have one day shipping than peace on earth.
Right.
Guess what we're going to have to do to take all that, if we don't have our Amazon trucks running on electricity, guess where it's going to have to happen? We're going to have to geoengineer our way out of it. We're going to use solar radiation management, which is openly being discussed as, you know, and this is what those like chemtrail people were going on about.
Right.
They're spraying in the skies. Well, that's a legitimate idea from these people. Bill Gates owns the intellectual property for that. Harvard owns the intellectual property for that. They're testing it at Harvard right now. They're throwing crap out of an air of a hot air balloon,
right,
and seeing if it reflects the sun.
Hmm.
That's the plan. We have marine cloud whitening, where they spray shit in the air, and then what happens with that when it reflects it lands in the ocean, and it will suck up more heat into the ocean, because that's why all the IPCC reports were off, is because it didn't take into account how much carbon dioxide is being sucked into the ocean.
Right.
And that's why oceans are acidifying. That's why fish are dying at such a high rate, because we're about to have an ocean that is completely devoid of life because it's being too acidic,
right,
to sustain life anymore. That's why it's not from overfishing. Like, overfishing is a huge problem, but what's killing them off so fast, killing off whales' entire food supplies, is from the acidifying nature of carbon dioxide entering the ocean.
Right.
And then, so what's the bourgeoisie's plan? Oh, we'll just put more carbon in the ocean.
Right.
We'll just live without fish. It's okay.
Right.
You know, I mean, most of it's irradiated from Fukushima anyway, so whatever. Did you know after Fukushima, the normal amounts of radiation went up 10,000%?
Really?
Yeah, just because everyone would have too much radiation at that point. But I digress. So, yeah.
As if the nukes in the atmosphere weren't enough.
If the nukes weren't enough, Fukushima. And on top of that, and then the last one, which is just the total, which is totally nuts because it hasn't even worked yet, but it is being tested in Squamish, so this is a local issue.
Sure.
Carbon capture and underground storage. We're just going to take the carbon out of the air and stuff it in the ground.
Right.
For what? And so we've just outlined why all this is absurd and insane. And I would just like to center why this all needs to be. Because instead of a society where people who can own the entire value of their labor, none of the value of their labor needs to be exploited by their boss,
right,
through wage labor, rather than, we could just change that. And we wouldn't need to grow anymore. All we would need to do is reproduce a standard of living for people to live at, which is sustainable with the earth.
Right.
That's one option. Or we can run the crazy fucking Frankenstein experiment,
right,
of geoengineering everything to keep us, you know, from dying, and continue the insane consumerist society, continue permanent war, continue, you know, just the brutal colonization of indigenous peoples.
Right. I think they opt for the latter.
Which is just, that just shows you how insane the ruling class is.
Right.
These people are not you know, like you and I, they don't have a conscience.
No.
How could you consciously look out and see people out on the streets and be like, I'm going to subject people to my Frankenstein experiment of spraying chemicals into the air, which is, you know, once again, whether or not it's happening, we'll leave that to the chemtrail people to decide right. whether or not it's happening right now. But this is a proposed idea.
Right.
Why? Mm-hmm. Why not just stop capitalism?
Right.
And that's why I truly believe these people are sociopaths.
Yeah, essentially, you have to be to have no sort of kind of moral compass at all.
You just and you know what's one symptom of a sociopath? Having absolutely no regard for your actions.
Right.
You might end humanity.
Right.
You might end it all.
Right.
Just to keep being rich.
Just to keep being rich and powerful. Right.
How insane are you mm-hmm. if you're doing that? Just that, and that's what I have to say to Bill and Melinda Gates, Jeff Bezos, Warren Buffett, BlackRock, you know, the entire U.S. State Department, the geoengineering scientists. You're just all nuts. All these Greenpeace people pushing this crappy plan. You're all crazy. I lose words of how angry this makes me.
Right.
Because you would risk ending humanity. You know, if we collapse, what if humanity doesn't die off, if we collapse the Earth's systems to create itself sustainable, it'll be millions of years before life can, you know, begin again on this planet.
Right.
And you're willing to do all that just to keep capitalism going.
All right, essentially.
Yeah. Just disgusting.
They're very simple-minded, if you think about it.
It's so gross. And now let's get to, you know, the face of, you know, the smug, you know, and once again, I want to focus on the whiteness of the whole climate movement. Every environmentalist I know is white. They're all white. Mm-hmm. They all wear Patagonia. They're all white.
Right.
And no, and of no surprise is the leader of this, you know, the global face of it, Greta Thunberg.
Right.
You know, she has a very Volkish, so that was a fascist cult, you know, back to nature kind of cult. She right. has that kind of vibe.
Yeah.
You know, really, really does. You know, of course she has to have blue eyes. You know, we couldn't have a black child, you know, talking about that. Certainly not an African. She has to be from Europe. So recently she pulled this stunt. So this is what really, you know, really pissed me off, especially knowing what anti-fascists are going through right now. So she dons this t-shirt. It says Anti-Fascist All-Star. It has a Converse logo on it. And she's there with a 1975 singer. I don't listen to the 1975, so I have no idea what his name is. But he's wearing a Motorola t-shirt. So, you know, just casual. Two of the largest brands on earth. You know, Converse owned by Nike. Plug the brand, of course. But, you know, then she tweets... here it is. Let's find this tweet. This is really horrible stuff. Basically, you know, just to bury the lead. Okay, here it is. Yesterday, I posted a photo wearing a borrowed t-shirt. So borrowed that says I'm against fascism. That t-shirt can apparently to some be linked to a violent movement. I don't support any form of violence. To avoid misunderstandings, I've deleted the post. And of course, I am against fascism. And, you know, this is not to criticize a 15-year-old because obviously, you know, at this point when you have, you know, when you're meeting with world leaders and you're the face of, you know, the Green New Deal and this entire like ruling class plot, it's not a 15-year-old girl writing these tweets. It's not a 15-year-old girl writing these speeches. It's not a 15-year-old girl staging these protests. You know, this is a very carefully put together PR firm, or at least the NGOs that are involved are doing it for her because, you know, there's a very specific agenda here. And Ajit, I'd love to hear your thoughts about that. Just, you know, I read out the tweet already about the about her, you know, wearing the borrowed t-shirt and, you know, and saying that anti-fascism is linked to a violent movement.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny how she gets triggered by people's comments. It's almost as if she's like her job is to be that PR person. I thought she has more concrete duties, right?
In terms she's supposed of to stand up. She's supposed to be so brave to stand up to the world leaders and tell Macron to his face, right. You're not doing enough. But Twitter trolls made you lose solidarity with anti-fascism?
Right. Why is Converse sponsoring that shirt? I don't know. That's all.
Why are you wearing that t-shirt? You know, who put you up to this?
Right.
Right? Like, how? Like, does it not dawn on anyone? This is just staged?
I guess this is excellent to kind of wrap up with the fact that part of social democracy's hidden fascist agenda is to bash fascism.
Anti-fascism. Right. Yeah, you have to bash anti-fascism.
Right.
Why?
Right.
anti-fascism is violent. That's why the person that shot up the garlic festival was an anti-fascist.
Right.
So violent, right? Mm-hmm. The two people that are on the run right now for killing for the triple homicide in Canada, were they anti-fascists? Mm-hmm. Was the person that stabbed a Muslim person recently in Quebec an anti-fascist?
Right.
Were the Christchurch shooters anti-fascists?
Right.
All these people have fascist sympathies. Right. There's one side that's committing all the violence, right?
Right.
You know, what violence? Where's the body count for anti-fascist violence?
Exactly.
So, I mean, that's great from the PR department running Greta Thunberg, because that was just such a disgusting display of people who are actually being, you know, you watch the videos from Portland and the Portland police just destroy these anti-fascists. They just smash their heads in.
Right.
Brutally. And then they let fascists in Portland have rifles. The cops found fascists with rifles, Patriot Prayer members, 3%ers with rifles standing above the protests on rooftops.
Mm-hmm.
Don't even tell the mayor. The police don't even tell the mayor.
Right.
Until a year later.
Right, right.
Where's the violence coming from, Greta? So it just shows you like how disgusting these people are. And then here it is. Here's another tweet. It's funny how the same people who say I don't understand anything about anything are the ones who expect me to know everything about a t-shirt that can be bought everywhere with many different captions and that apparently, according to some, can be linked to violence. I don't support any political movement or any political views. Really?
Mm-hmm.
Really? Because I would say that the Green New Deal is extremely political.
Right. And it's not wearing a shirt which says anti-fascism inherently political.
It's right. I'm against all forms of fascism and I'll never support any kind of violence except for imperialist violence, which you're totally okay with. Right. Status quo is inherently violent. There's a genocide going on in Canada right now.
Pacifist.
But I don't see it. And it's not happening to white people. So it's not real. There's no violence. Violence only happens to white people.
Mm-hmm. And rich people.
Yeah, those are the only people that can be victims of violence. All changes come from democracy. There you go, right? So here we go. We just talked about how, you know, the words and the deeds are different from social democrats. All changes must come from democracy, from this horrible colonial system. Mm-hmm. Equal rights, nonviolence, and peace. Saying no to fascism isn't a political view. It's common sense.
Right.
Well, I'm saying no to social democracy, the moderate form of fascism.
Sure.
And then, of course, you know, Greta Thunberg then plugs to lifestyleism, right? So this is everybody on Facebook that's like, I'm so concerned about climate change. I'm so concerned. Here's some things you can do. Don't use plastic bags and plastic straws. Go vegan. Like, none of that's going to change anything.
Right.
Not even anything. So then she posts feminist all-star, vegan all-star. Like that does nothing. Does absolutely nothing.
Right.
Keeps the problem the way it is. So there's Greta for you, people.
There you go. The perfect mouthpiece.
Oh, and I don't know if you saw this. This is the craziest thing. Is the sailing party. Have you seen this?
No.
So they're all going to sail down to this climate conference, like COP20, whatever. They're going to that's the plan. That's how they're going to show solidarity. They're going to take boats instead of flying.
Okay.
So it's good that they're not flying. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
Flying is horrible for the environment.
Right.
Like just crazy. Just right. It's these people. I'm running out of words. It's a lot. Ajit, any thoughts?
Yeah, it's again, what is the issue? It's what do we start off the show with, that we want a more solid response, more solid activism than tokenistic gestures? And that's all we get from these people. It's part and parcel of kind of this, the fake leftist agenda who exists within the moderate fascist state, aka social democratic state, to keep lending out these lip services, right?
To peace and democracy,
right? And it's
which she actually said. You know, she said democracy and peace, like sandwiched in. It's almost like it was like ripped out of like the social democrat playbook,
right? And we come to assume that those two things are the most benevolent sort of institutions or, you know, states, that a state of affairs that we could have. But it's just insane, and it's
we're risking ending humanity,
right?
Like, that's the stakes. What are the stakes?
But pretty much
everything.
It's yeah And it's really ridiculous that, you know, you're going to keep having these conferences where it's just an excuse to dress up in your black tie and look fancy and, you know, discuss some things which don't really pan out realistically. I don't think any climate conference has really had any effect.
Yeah, it's been so effective that we are now on the brink.
Right.
And absolutely. Greenland was melting today. That was the headline.
Right.
Greenland melts billions of cubic meters of ice melting away.
Sure. And they release more carbon dioxide into the atmosphere.
More methane, yeah. Right. There you go. Okay. We're going to have to take a short break for commercials, but we'll be right back after that.
Without the help and support of our friends, we here at CITR wouldn't be able to bring you all the great music, art, cinema, and culture that you love. Thanks to the long-standing support from the Rio Theater, we are able to keep you informed on all the great artists, films, and everything else coming to town there. For all the current information about who and what's playing at the Rio Theater, visit their website at www.riotheater.ca.
Ever heard of Pitch Perfect? UBC Acapella can sing on harmony in Q. Made up of 100 members across four choirs, the student-led club regularly performs on and off campus. Check out UBC Acapella on Facebook for more information regarding their Aca Amazing end-of-term concerts. My church offers no absolutes. She tells me worship in the bedroom. The only heaven.
Join us for the very best in bluegrass,
old time,
classic country,
Cajun,
rockabilly,
and western swing
every Tuesday morning from 6 to 8 a.m.
We start at 6 with bluegrass, roots and branches,
then focus on mostly bluegrass at 6:30.
Join your hosts,
Arthur Berman and the lovely Andrea.
We'll start off your day right.
What's up, everybody? We're back. So just to finish the show, I'm going to share this amazing thread by Corey Morningstar at El Provocateur, a must follow on Twitter. Wrong Kind of Green, check it out. Amazing blog site. They're a collective exposing the NGO industrial complex, which is, you know, what got me out of, you know, I was a moderate fascist myself. I was part of the social democrat crowd, you know, pushing that Green New Deal bullshit.
Right.
And thank God I know better now. And instead, let's spread the word. Let's spread the info that, you know, that these social democrats are going to push basically a surveillance fascist state because, you know, Ajit, we already have full on spying happening on our phones, internet. Now imagine when it goes 5G, the ultimate, and also a final thing I forgot about 5G, guess what has the exact same frequencies as crowd control devices do for the protest police?
5G networks?
Same frequencies.
Wow.
We have the ultimate crowd control system ready to go, folks. All you have to do is save the climate because we're in a climate emergency,
right.
Which is just code for, you know, get ready for fascism, folks.
Right.
All those rights and privileges you thought you had going straight out the window. Mm-hmm. Guess who's in charge? You know, guess who our white saviors are? Environmentalism. And now they're going to run the show. And if you're not environmental enough, then the environmental police are going to come get you.
Really, pretty much.
Here we go. So this is Corey Morningstar's thread. A lesson in spectacle. February 21st, 2019. Kicking ass for a generation. Applause for 16-year-old Greta Thunberg as EU chief pledges billions to curb climate threat. Pledges billions? Really? What protest movement has had billions of dollars thrown their way?
Right.
After weeks of climate strikes around the world inspired by the Swedish teenager that the European Union has heard the demands of young people, in the financial period beginning in 2021, EU President Juncker said the EU will devote a quarter of its budget to solving the crisis. Once again, crisis. Who feeds off crisis? Fascism.
Right.
In the financial period, oh yeah, win-win victory. Greta Thunberg literally changing the world. EU Commission, our goal is to allocate one quarter of the EU budget. Yeah, we cover that. And they also gave Thunberg credit for leading the pressure campaign. That's so, you know, all those indigenous activists that were idle no more, all those indigenous activists that were fighting against the tar sands, the world's largest polluter, you know, they don't mean shit.
Right.
It's this white savior that the EU listened to. Oh, all you black people fighting the good fight, doesn't matter.
Right.
Okay, so moving on. And once again, so this whole plan is just to it's just like political theater. So I appreciated your snaps from the Democratic debate. It really puts into perspective Guy Debord's Society of the Spectacle, which is, you know, will be a future Spencer Latu club, Spencer Latu reading club book.
Right.
Because, you know, as we move from, just the commodity itself, it becomes the object, right? You know, it becomes the brand on the back, you know?
Right.
It's not your iPhone for its use value anymore. It's for its brand value. It's because it's an iPhone, not an Android.
Right.
You know, and your politics are, you know, not that you actually have principles like, you know, anti-imperialism, you know, socialized means of production. You know, those don't exist anymore. You're either Democrat or Republican. You're an AOC supporter, or you're a Bernie supporter, or you're Elizabeth Warren, or you're Kamala Harris. You become a spectator to it. You watch the debates at home. And if you want to know how much of a spectator you're on, it's on CNN.
Right.
It's owned by, and CNN's owned by large telecoms, Time Warner. You know, oh, you watch on MSNBC? Great. It's owned by General Electric, the nuclear weapons maker.
Right.
You are an absolute spectator
right.
to everything. You are no longer a political agent in and of yourself. All you are is just an isolated, and everyone watches it. You know, you may have a debate watching party, or you're watching it by yourself. You're watching in like a movie theater. You're all in your individual seats, yeah. all trained at the screen, not talking to each other. You're just all individualized spectators.
Right.
So, and then applying this to Corey Morningstar's thread, you know, we're just watching Junger and Greta Thunberg, you know, the EU president, you know, they make us, they, this is what she says. They give what they want, and they being what serves their collective interests. And by utilizing spectacle, which was we're all, you know, individualized spectators of politics, they make us believe that we are in the driver's seat, that we are winning. We're not. This is a charade. Wake up.
Right.
That's a lot, I know, and it's a lot to think about that, you know, the Social Democrats, aka moderate fascists, are driving us towards annihilation.
Right.
All to make a buck, because that's what really matters, is making money. It doesn't really matter about, you know, making sure that the Earth, the literal miracle planet, you know, we have yet to find another planet with life on it. So this is it, folks.
Right.
Our one home we are destroying.
Right.
You know, and it just shows you that, you know, I'm sure everyone's heard about Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos experimenting in space, because they don't care.
No.
They're going to eat up another planet.
It's, yeah, and that's part of the distraction that, you know, this R&D and this innovation is going to help us. It's fake R&D, literally, because they got to spend the money, right?
Yeah.
And then their primary, who are their primary consumers? The bourgeoisie.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
It's one big club, and you're not in it.
No, you're not in it.
That's all that matters to these people, you know, and I hate to be the bearer of bad news that, you know, that maybe the Silicon Valley funded Justice
Democrats.
Well,
we're
Democrats.
The bearer of reality, so we can have
True.
Positive news for ourselves, right? Because we're not,
yes.
we're not here, like, we should end on a positive note, because we're not just saying this to, like, because we want to die.
I'm an edgelord, yeah. right. I want to go down, I want to die in this, you know, really
Hail
tragic,
fire, right?
tragic nihilistic view. No, it's because I hope that people can take this information,
right.
you know, learn that, you know, right. the alternative you're being presented with is not an alternative. It's a fake It's manufacturing dissent.
Exactly.
And you know.
And if we can just illustrate the great spectacle of paradox that they have inundated us with, just one final time, it's that, you know, only thing we're taught in capitalist society which matters is the numbers. What number do we forget all the time? That we have the majority.
Yes.
The vast majority.
Oh my God, Ajit. That's right. fucking brilliant. Because that's what we need to start thinking about.
Right.
We outnumber them. We need to out-organize them.
Right.
We need to actually teach people, you know, these, you know, just like our first, you know, our first quotations, which I highly recommend people look up on their own time. You know, there's amazing resources out there that we can politically educate ourselves to overthrow these people. You know, there's a blueprint laid out, you know, where were successful liberation struggles fought by the people, right? Haiti overthrew a slave rebellion, right?
Right.
You know, Russia overthrew the Tsarist regime, you know, China freed itself from Japan and then the capitalists,
right?
You know, fought them off too, right? Vietnam defeated the fucking United States.
Right.
Right?
A backwards village society.
Rice farmers
right.
beat back the largest military machine on planet Earth.
Right.
So, I mean, I don't know if that's enough for people to really believe that, yes, you can make a difference,
right.
you know, and especially, and this isn't just, you know, brocialism time, right? You know, women's place in the struggle, right? You know, we want LGBTQ rights too. And the only way we're going to get that is through socialism. You can't, you know, expect these, you know, these spectacle, you know, bringers, the people that create this like political theater in front of you to do anything for you. Your material life has gotten worse while the media has gotten crazier.
Right.
Like, think about it. There's a huge disconnect between the deep seeds and the words. And if we can focus on that, I really think we have a chance. Reading theory is not elitist, okay? No. Go to your local library, rip open some... Actually, you don't even have to go to your local library. Go to Marxist.org and start reading, because we're going to need some people who can figure this out and just realize that, yeah, maybe those people who, you know, depend on the ruling class, such as politicians, maybe are not working in your best interest, and you need to work with the people around you to do something about it.
Absolutely.
On that note, you can find more of our content on the Apple iTunes podcast, CITR as well. Listen to CITR for some more amazing content. Find me on social media at Spencer Latu. And I think that's it for us today. Ajit, any last words?
No, and connect with us, because we are here to help too.
Please.
And we need to organize.
Yeah, talk shit. You know, right. come at us. You know, you have bad opinions. You're a social fascist. You're a moderate fascist. Well, you know, start becoming a socialist, okay? We're out.